Cormel.
Let's do it. Keep it spicy. If you see a queen, you better wife it. While we lit a dinner lighter, makes things much brighter. So you gotta keep it spicy.
All right, so we are really lucky to have two architects, two guys who are moving and shaking in what's known as blockchain, which to a lot of us comes off as a lot of hype, but this project has struck me as something different. It's the Singles DAO, or the SNGLS DAO. And I have on today Troy Murray and Zach LeBeau here to talk about it, tell us why it's interesting, how it may change how we interact and consume entertainment. But before we get too deeply into it here, Troy, Zach, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Thanks for having us, Edward.
Very, very cool. We're going to toss around a lot of vocabulary, so I think it's maybe important to start off with where you guys sort of come from. If I have my research right, you come out of the Ethereum tribe or the Ethereum ecosystem with Joe Lubin's Consensus, Singular DTV, and all that good stuff. Take us through a little bit about why Singular DTV is an important project and kind of an overview of it.
Sure. Yeah. This is Zach LeBeau. Well, basically, Singular DTV, our number one mission is just to explore what a decentralized entertainment industry could look like, and then to build the components and really experiment with what a decentralized entertainment industry could be. So Breaker, for example, Breaker.io is one of our first decentralized applications that we launched, really centering around rights management on the blockchain. So, you know, you mentioned the hype of the blockchain cryptoverse. It's something that, you know, we just ignore and have our heads down and just build and experiment with. And that's why we've come up with this concept of the Singles DAO.
Yeah. And it's really fascinating because I've been kind of watching what you guys have been producing for, I guess what's now is a couple of years now that I think about it. I had the chance to go see an early project, a documentary called Trust Machine, written, I guess, directed by Alex Winter. And that was, you know, excellent, a fascinating product. And here we have kind of the most meta thing you can imagine, a documentary about the blockchain that is now being streamed on the blockchain. But I guess before we get too deeply into that, what's wrong with the way we consume modern entertainment? Like the Netflix, the Hulus, those seem really neat to me and really great to me. Why should anybody want to, you know, reinvent that or reimagine it?
Yeah, this is Zach again. I think they are great for the audience, absolutely. But the thing that really inspired us to integrate blockchain and entertainment was the fact that on the creator side, on the producer side, we're always being minimized and screwed over at the distribution level. Because basically, to get any of our projects out, whether they be music or film, television, anything like that, we basically have to sign over our rights to intermediaries and gatekeepers. And whether they decide to share information on how much money is being made from the exploitation of that intellectual property is really up to them. So, you know, the co-founders have been at this since 2013. You know, back then we were just trying to figure out how to, you know, create our own protocol and really program intellectual property on data vessels on the blockchain, which of course are now called tokens. But, you know, we struggled with it for a very long time, but we knew Ethereum was coming. And Ethereum had this big grand promise of being able to program tokens with a number of features and functions. But really from you know, personally my side, it was to stop getting screwed over by intermediaries and stop asking permission from gatekeepers just to express myself. You know, you mentioned Netflix, you mentioned Spotify, iTunes, those sort of platforms. Mm-hmm. They're great for the audience, but they constantly minimize the artists. So that's where I've been coming from. And Troy, you're pretty much, that's why you and I really sort of, harmonized too in the beginning, because you were coming from the exact same place.
Yeah, this is Troy here. So interestingly enough, Zach and I met each other kind of working through Consensus, and we were working very much on kind of the same idea, but approaching it from different directions. But the end goal was pretty much the same, and it was about rewarding the artist over the intermediaries, and how you could do that in a much more, I guess you would say, I don't want to say fair, but just like equitable version of it. So that's really kind of where we harmonized, and we were able to find a lot of common ground. And so we've been, a force to be reckoned with, attacking this these ideas together.
Yeah, I think your project Singular DTV has been way out ahead, and as I mentioned more recently with the Trust Machine, but also you guys had Grammatic basically tokenize himself for the peer-to-peer cash, electronic cash side that I come out of. Our intuition was slow to tokenization. I think all of us admired it, but the Ethereum folks were on top of it, and they were out first, and they've really, really brought it far, far along. Because our tuition are we've since now on, say, Bitcoin Cash and some of the others are experimenting with tokens, and tokens are becoming an ever larger part of our ecosystem. But why is tokenization so integral to what you're talking about, this decentralized aspect, lowering, I guess, censorship resistance, right? Taking away the power from gatekeepers. What does tokenization have to do with all that?
Yeah, that's a meaty question. This is Zach here. Troy, let me take a stab at one area of it, because I know you've got a whole other area you want to talk to regarding this tokenization aspect. You did mention Grammatic, and it was a really great exercise to tokenize Grammatic. And back then, Singular DTV, we had our TGE, our ICO, back in 2016. So we were kind of about a year ahead of the entire ICO craze. And what we were really looking to do, and I still see this as the holy grail, and it's not been, we haven't achieved it yet. I don't think anyone's achieved it yet legally. But the holy grail really for tokenization, as far as I'm concerned, is creating this meaningful equity relationship between audience and artist. So basically, you tokenize someone like Grammatic, and he floats, theoretically, a certain number of tokens out to the public. Well, those tokens are supposed to represent a couple different things. Number one, they represent his intellectual property. So you're supposed to be able to own a piece of his music as well. But it's also price of admission. It's also a ticket or a fee to listen to the music. So, with that sort of dynamic, the entire point was to create this market effect where the more you consumed music, his music, then the more in demand the token would be. Therefore, theoretically, he would be able to just liquidate tokens in perpetuity whenever he wanted to drop an album or go on tour or something else. He wouldn't have to bow down to, this entire thing in the music industry where, the promoters, bookers, managers, they try to force you to stay on tour all throughout the year, drop two or three albums as much as possible, and then just burn the hell out of the artist. So that equity relationship is really, the most important thing to me. It's like if you had that relationship with the television show, as long as there was an audience, the show would never get canceled. They would just take some of their tokens in reserve, and they would sell those, and they'd make the next show. And as long as it was a good show and there was audience out there who actually held the tokens, then it would continue to go on. But this sort of relationship, of course, is a very highly regulated affair. And of course, the regulators that are out there to protect the average person are there to, regulate this sort of thing. So we're still a few years away from being able to have a relationship like this. But Troy, I know you've got another take on tokens too.
Yeah, and go ahead, Troy. Just before I let you do that, just in certain case people don't know who Grammatic is, he's no joke. Like, he's not, you know, just some artist that no one's heard of. In the EDM world, he is ginormous. And I remember the song. It was crypto related, but we published something on it. And I mean, I had people that never were interested in crypto at all. We're like, I didn't know you knew about Grammatic. And then that furthered this conversation that we're having now. But I'm sorry, Troy, I interrupted. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I wanted to piggyback kind of on what Zach was saying, where that the holy grail of being able to use tokens in that way, I mean, it really is. And it worries me from a regulatory standpoint that it's very regulated here in America. But if you go and look at other places around the world, you're really seeing, like, especially in Asia, they're starting to use the tokens in that way. So I always think back to kind of the startup companies of lore back in the early 90s with the, mm-hmm. like Amazon and all that. And the way that the government in America set up the tax laws and the regulations were to allow for this really brand new market to explode. And it allowed the United States to have a huge control over the whole tech boom that occurred. But that was easy because it really wasn't as regulated, and it was just simple bits and bytes. Where now you have these tokens that can in some ways operate as securities, and you're talking about some of the most powerful powers that be in America. And it worries me that, you know, well, what happens if they don't get it right? And it feels very much like it's the old guard, and they don't want to let go. And so, and that kind of falls back into like what you're talking about with just the currency issues, right? Where sensor resistance and all that kind of thing. So, because it's not hard to turn on the engine, it's just that you're not allowed to hit the power button.
Yeah. And if, even though as polarized as the United States politics can come off at times, bipartisan across the board, the thing that, you know, both parties and their constituents seem to be completely in agreement with would, of course, be hating things like Bitcoin, Ethereum, cryptocurrency generally, to the point where you have the President of the United States tweeting out, I don't trust this thing, I don't like it. And then his, like literally his polar opposite, Maxine Waters, effectively doing the same, a congresswoman from California. So I get you. And it is a giant worry. The code is law stuff is I guess what essentially we're talking about is trying to Zach was he entered into the conversation here, the programmable token aspect of it is really what it's going to come down to. And so how then do we get to the singles DAO, the SNGLS, decentralized autonomous organization, the singles DAO?
Yeah, so this is Troy again. Just to kind of conclude that last thought is that, yeah, maybe both parties are on the side of not liking cryptocurrency, but both parties usually are very much on the side of good business practices and mm-hmm. allowing for businesses to thrive. And so if they were thinking like really forward thinking with this, they would realize that there's much more in common in trying to get these businesses up and running in the States and good for the economy. Because, I mean, that's the number one thing, in my opinion. And so maybe they're just really misinformed. But this whole mm-hmm. argument about how, like, if doing what we wanted to do was that legal or not is how we got to actually the singles DAO, was because what we saw is that mountain of rewarding tokens with, like, essentially almost like equity, that mountain is a very high mountain, and we're still climbing that mountain. But we wanted to be able to take the business models that were out there and use them and build them into the singles token. So that's really where the singles, like the new singles token becomes a utility token, and it becomes a governance token. So if you look at something like MakerDAO, where their token is essentially just a utility token and it governs their protocol, we pretty much copied that business model and built that into what we're doing with Singles DAO.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And the sort of programmable, you know, smart contract like tokens that are allowed to I guess proliferate. I mean, now it's even, I guess there's an NBA player whose name escapes me at the moment, Spencer Dinwiddie, I believe, and he's even trying to tokenize his NBA contract, and I'm not sure how much further he's gotten with that, but there really is no limit to this, right? I mean, it solves so many problems, at least potentially.
Well, Edward, this is Zach again. The interesting thing is that, yeah, we can program tokens with intellectual property, but it's irrelevant unless we have an infrastructure built around it. That intellectual property needs to be able to move somewhere. So we have to build those highways in order for the car to drive down it. And those highways really are entertainment portals or places where we license that intellectual property to. And of course, if we license that intellectual property to a counterparty, then that counterparty has to be set up to be able to interact with the blockchain as well. You know, every single time it goes out to an audience, that intellectual property, they have to be on the receiving end to be connected to the blockchain at the same time. So yeah, programming tokens is just one component of so many, but it's really the infrastructure, this very complex entertainment infrastructure that needs to be built in order for any of these programmable tokens to be relevant or useful at all. And that's really the most time consuming thing from our side. The Singles DAO is interesting because it starts to actually really create a community that can make decisions and start to build this, to be a part, to be a node in this decentralized entertainment industry. We have no idea what the hell is going to happen. We're all sort of making this up as we go, but it's a whole hell of a lot of fun and we really love doing it. So, you know, we're going to keep on doing it. And eventually critical mass will happen and, you know, things will happen faster and faster and faster. You know, this documentary with Alex Winter in Trust Machine, you know, we've got, you know, Grammatic and his entire discography on Breaker.io. You know, we've got Steven Soderbergh putting films on, you know, his films on Breaker.io as well. And yeah, the number one thing is just don't stop, keep your head down, don't hype up too much, and yeah, we'll get somewhere.
And the hope is that, you know, the work finds an audience, but you're also again bringing in some of these bigger known names, especially within the crypto ecosystem, to kind of bring their audience over. And again, my kind of personal, I guess, connection to it would be at the LA premiere of Trust Machine. And it was interesting because normally in cryptocurrency circles, when you go to conferences or so on, you kind of find the ubiquitous, you know, pasty white dude standing there, and we talk, you know, really technical speak and, you know, Schnorr signatures and algorithms. But it was really nice to see it, I guess, crypto kind of become sexy in a way. So what's missing, I think, in terms of adoption is this connection to entertainment is making it, you know, not only super practical, but also something that people love, which are, you know, arts, entertainment, music, all that good stuff. And it was really neat to see. My wife and I were there at the premiere, and, you know, Rosario Dawson walks in. Now, I'm not exactly sure how much she knows about blockchain and crypto, but she narrated Trust Machine.
Yeah, and, no, she's very progressive.
Yeah.
You know, she's very interested in these sort of things. And that's the thing, too. You know, it's like Alex Winter, he's legit. You know, he really cares and is interested about this stuff. You know, he did the documentary Deep Web, which, you know, he's very, very, he feels very strongly about, you know, what happened to Ross and, you know, and is in touch with the family. And, you know, Grammatic too, you know, these people, they think in a decentralized frame of mind, because I'm always saying this, it's more like a mindset and a frame of mind than anything. You have to open yourself up to this new parameter to really start to understand, you know, what decentralized possibilities could be. But that's the thing, you know, we need people who actually really believe in it for the right reasons. And you saw what happened back in 2017 and 2018 when everyone started jumping on the bandwagon.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
and, you know, just posers coming out of the woodwork, just trying to associate themselves with the concept of crypto and blockchain. And it kind of ruined, I think it ruined, you know, it created a certain sort of stigma and a negative reaction from a lot of people that I think we're still feeling right now. But I don't see those people anymore. I don't see them on Reddit or on Threads or, you know, get emails from them anymore. They're like, they went back into the woodwork.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. But what I love about the singular DTV kind of ecosystem that you guys are creating, this, it's sort of it's this universe unto itself, is that it does really reach out beyond sort of the typical, at least in my mind, stereotypical consumers of it. And just one last anecdote, because it's, I get to name drop here. Cory Booker was there, of all people.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, yeah, and yeah, I don't get starstruck or whatever. And I'm not a giant fan of his politics necessarily, but it, first off, like you say, Alex Winter, he's, you can't overstate what an OG that guy is. Like, he is affable. He had a whole bunch of people between himself and us, or I guess he didn't, but there were, you know, people, right? He had representatives and so on. And we finally got an interview with him, and he was so accommodating. He was so down to earth. He answered all of my dumb questions. He was so generous. We had some problems with the mic. He's that guy. He's exactly what you see. And again, it's the combination of bringing a bona fide, you know, movie star and legitimate director in, bringing artists in, politicians. I mean, the guy, Cory Booker, I mean, whatever you think of the dude, he had a fairly viable candidacy for president of the United States. He was there. So that's, I think, Singular DTV's power, is that you guys reach out beyond kind of the typical constituents for this stuff. And you really do. You're really trying to find a broader audience.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, thanks for saying that, because, yeah, too oftentimes, especially, you know, in the cryptoverse, on the internet, you know, people just troll, and they don't take enough time to really scratch underneath the surface, or maybe they don't care. And, but, you know, like I said, it's, we love doing this, and we're going to keep on doing it. And, you know, hopefully people will join in. You know, I always try to get as many people to go to Breaker.io as possible, because that's like rights management on the blockchain. It's alive right now, and you can listen to a lot of cool music and watch a lot of cool movies and TV on there as well. So,
including Trust Machine.
Yeah, including Trust Machine. You know, we got a long way to go. You know, of course, Netflix and Amazon and all those legacy multi-billion dollar corporations do it better. You know, it's one of the things that we've definitely learned. Our entire, you know, business to consumer strategy, it's one of those things where, yeah, you know, Netflix is spending $17 billion in 2020 on content. How can you compete with that? You can't. Mm-hmm. But at least we have the blockchain component that provides something that those others don't have, and they don't really care to have, you know, either. So, and it's also opened up us to a lot of interesting business-to-business possibilities as well, where we've created a number of licensing and collections modules that help track residuals and revenue and, you know, all these things that happen in the back office in the entertainment industry. So we're rolling out a whole slate of those modules for the entertainment industry this year. They're not sexy. It's one of those things where it's like our accountants talking to their accountants, our CFO,
yeah,
those, you know, our tech guys. But, you know, at least it starts to bring in some B2B revenue for the company, and it actually, we can find some sort of meaningful way to ultimately tie that to Breaker.io and ultimately tie both of those things to the Singles DAO as well.
I think it was Troy, if my memory serves, who said something about the Singles token being kind of the water to the garden, or maybe it was the DAO, I can't remember. Was that you, Troy?
Actually, that was Zach.
See, this is what you have to learn the Coin Spice way. We take credit for other people's work. But go ahead and tell us how we basically find out more about the Singles DAO, the Singles token, the protocol, all things Singular and Breaker.
I think the best place to really, if you want to dig into what's going on with the Singles DAO, is you visit the website singlesdao.io, so SNGLSDAO.io. and on their on the Twitter. So we will be releasing a token swap coming up in the next not this month, but probably next month, which will upgrade the singles token to 2.0, which will then which gives you control over the actual DAO. And the DAO has a couple controls over the protocol. There's three parameters. There's the listing fee, the transaction fee, and the staking fee. The first two that will go live will be the transaction and the listing fee. But if you hold tokens, if you hold singles tokens in your wallet, you won't have to pay a transaction fee. It's kind of like the same business model that Binance uses on their exchange, where if you hold the Binance token, you don't have the exchange fee added on. So that's kind of a cool little thing that we built into it. If you want to dig in deep into what's really going on, you can check out our GitHub. It's github.com/ singularDTV. And then there's the white paper there and everything. So there's a lot of different portals you can jump on and dig in. And we will have the governance module up very soon for the DAO. So if you have the tokens, you'll be able to do voting and have a voice inside the system. You'll also be able to vote on what we do with the treasury. So the protocol itself has a built-in mechanism to fund the treasury so that if there's ever a need to upgrade the protocol, which is obviously will have to happen, the people that are in the DAO can vote on stuff and upgrade everything that's going on. On the website, there's this idea of we're going to be releasing an open source UI called EtherVision, which also has connections into the back end of the protocol. But this open source UI will be, it's available for any entrepreneur to come in and use, and we're kind of calling it a TV network in a box. So it can connect to our protocol. It will give you the ability to stage your content, upload it, get through content mining, and then you can also be able to attach other Web3 projects that are going on inside the ecosystem. So we can connect DeFi systems from MakerDAO, or there might be organization systems from Aragon built into it. It's really an open book for any entertainment entrepreneur to come in and build their own Web3 TV studio, essentially. And I'm really excited about what that will do for the community and how that will open up everything.
Yeah, that's an incredible project that you guys have birthed here, and I cannot wait to see what happens. It's not fly by night, guys. It's not two dudes that no one's ever heard of, and a project that does not have traction. This is the exact opposite of that. Been around for years, and it continues to make strides. As Zach has said, they have a long way to go, but they're doing some really amazing things, some interesting things, taking best practices, pushing them forward, and really excited to kind of see how this fleshes itself out. So Troy gave us a lot of good links, which we'll definitely publish in the show notes here so people can follow up. Zach, is there anything that I left out, anything else that you want to mention in terms of how people can follow your guys' projects and how it evolves?
Yeah, well, I think we've covered a lot, Edward. Thank you very much. But yeah, I do challenge anyone who's interested in what we're doing, not only to check out singlesdao.io, but also download our app either on the desktop or on your phone at breaker.io as well. And yeah, you'll be hearing a lot more from us this year as well.
Very cool. Yeah, Breaker, I can personally vouch for it. It is dope. Really, really cool project. So anyway, that was the great Troy Murray and Zach LeBeau of SinglesDAO. We will keep abreast and up to date on all that's happening there, especially as the Singles 2.0 is launched and all sorts of good stuff happens. Thanks again, both of you guys, for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you very much for having us. Thanks so much.